This is a replay of the Thursday night, January 19th, WGN show. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James with 3 hours to spend together, and as usual, whatever's on your mind will be on mine. That's right, we do have slime from the checkout line. I got myself some tabloids, and while we were mailing out prizes, I came to find out that the tabloids were some of the most coveted, so John said, you better get on these subscription lists again. And meantime, people sent me a free issue saying, subscribe again, and I thought, oh, what the heck. And now, of course, I opened this particular issue of People, which is probably a couple weeks old now, since what hits the newsstand is well in front of what they mail you, but it is The Epic Life of Barbara Walters, and I'm just leaping through it, and then I get to the Harry Hamlin story, What I Now Know, and he's looking back on his adventures of over 25 years and his marriage, and I'm thinking, who is this? Yeah, it's sort of like that for me and the tabloids in many cases. Who is this? But apart from that, we all know who Joe Biden is, and he's front and center in The Inquirer, of course. Yes, senile Biden impeachment crisis. I know you want to hear all about that. And Ivanka Trump marriage on the rocks in The Inquirer from the prior week. So it certainly is an equal opportunity scandal rag. So all that and more, and your calls. But sadly, been meaning to mention this all week, but didn't really have as good a time to do it. But there is one now, and that's Keith Beaton died. And I was real sorry to hear that. And you might not know who that is, but you certainly know the group that he was co-founder of, which would be Blue Magic. Yeah, an original member of Blue Magic, of course. And we got to play Sideshow, right? Just the absolute best. And Blue Magic was formed at Temple University. There were a couple kids there who, and they came up with the early hit with Spell, which Keith did not write, but one of the other group members did. And when the other members balked at touring, what happened was there was another group, Shades of Love, and this is the one Keith Beaton was in, who said, yeah, we'll tour. And so Blue Magic was originally Shades of Love and a member of the original blues, Blue Magic. And so it was. They were signed to Atlantic in 1973. And just, as I say, there were a number of records that charted, but just Sideshow was just absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And the guitarist on that was Norman Harris, who spent most of the decade in the shadow of Gamble and Huff, who masterminded, well, you know, everybody from the Tramps on. And so it was that the debut album was really, really terrific. And they did. They toured for quite a while. They eventually broke up. They reformed in 2018 for an episode of TV1's music biography show, Unsung. And it was the first time they had been singing together in about, three decades. And sadly now with the death of Beaton and the passing last year of Richard Pratt, who was originally a member with him, there probably won't be a reunion again. But so there you have it. Rest in peace. Also, sad news out of Philadelphia. He is alive, and I say it like that because on the internet today there were several rumors of the death of Jerry Blavitt. And at the moment, he is breathing. We checked that just before the show. But he's not in good shape, and his family and friends and cohorts are all around him right now. And I'm guessing that he won't make it through the night. But you never know. You never know what's in store. Although I've always said that Jerry's one of these guys who he should have died on stage because that's doing what he loved. And really the only thing he truly was absolutely passionate about. Only guy I know who never was on a rated radio station, who still is probably the most well-known disc jockey in all of Philadelphia radio history. But as I say that, and that comes up often in articles and stuff like that, the reality is he had something that most disc jockeys didn't, and that was a strip show. You know, a show 5 days a week, Monday through Friday in the afternoons on television. And so it was that kids would come home from school and they'd you watch the Jerry Blavitt Show and later Discophonic Scene. And of course he made more appearances probably than anybody. In the 60s he had leased a helicopter because he would do say three in a night, and that's how he'd get from gig to gig. But even now at 82 years old, all summer long, for instance, 6 days a week he was at a club performing, and as well as at his own club, which he owns, he's still with us, Memories in Margate. So he was smart with Memories too, because of course his crowd is my crowd and those of us who like the oldies, especially from the 50s, but they're not going to be the big drinkers and the big goers. So at Memories, most of the crowd is very young and most of the music is very young, but on Friday night and Saturday night, Jerry would come down there and spin things that you weren't going to hear anywhere else. So we'll see how it goes, but it doesn't look good. His Kimmel Center concert was coming up this month, next week, in fact, and that was canceled. And, of course, his New Year's Eve show was canceled. And when that happened, I knew this wasn't good news. And he just got off a cruise in November, and it's amazing that he had the strength to do that, but he did. The Malt Shop Memories Cruises, which he's been doing for about a dozen years now. So I suspect there will be another one next November, but probably not with Jerry. So keep Jerry in your prayers. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. I'll let you know what else I hear. But on to a good memory. We'll hear a little sideshow. And all your requests, all the other bumpers are requests by you tonight. And if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. Otherwise, we'll just move to the National Enquirer. Charles blackmailed the Queen to make Camilla Queen. Well, yeah, what did he have on her? Well, we'll find out coming up on WGN Radio.
See the sun is showing town for only 50 cents.
Step right up, hurry, hurry, before the show begins. My friends, stand in line, get your tickets, I hope. See what life has done to those like you and me. See the man with the broken heart, you'll see that he is sad. He hurts so bad,
so bad, so bad.
See the girl who has lost.
Guarantee. So let the sideshow begin.
the best record of 1974. Blue Magic and Sideshow was their only number one record, number one on the R&B charts, number eight on the pop charts, but by no means their only record. They had about a dozen and a half charters, but man, that Sideshow was just the best. Bobby Eli Cole wrote that in Philadelphia. It was on ACCO, and it was just terrific. And man, I love that record. I was working at Epic at Columbia Records then, and a guy who was mastering a bunch of stuff for whatever reason had worked on that, and I talked about how much I liked Sideshow. And next thing I know, he put a reel-to-reel on my desk and said, then have a master tape. And I've still got that somewhere, but yeah, who the heck plays reel-to-reels anymore? Although, yeah, John, no good deed goes unpunished. John had a friend who wanted to know if he could dub some reel-to-reel tapes for him onto DVDs or CDs. And John said, well, sure, you know, because it doesn't matter if you need quarter track or half track or full track. We got it. And so in comes this tape, and all of a sudden I get the call. Could you come here? And like I say, anytime I hear that, I know disaster is about to strike. I said, what's the problem? And I walk in the room. I've never seen a tape do this before, ever. And I've seen a lot of tape, yeah, going back to paper tape and all that kind of stuff. But what had happened? I don't know where this was stored. This is beyond just a hot garage. I don't know. And of course, also, the tape came to me in a plain box. So I don't know what it was. I'm suspecting Shamrock for those of you who remember reel-to-reel tape. I don't think it was a 3M product. In any event, I've seen tape break all the time and all that. I've never actually seen the coating come off. Yeah, right, exactly. Where you just got the see-through plastic and then you've got the coating. But of course, it doesn't come off in one piece. It comes off in thousands of pieces because it was, one of those tails out. So you had to rewind it so you could hear it. But I'll tell you, by the time it rewound, there was tape everywhere in this room. And I looked at John and I said, even if you could, you're not going to play that. I don't know what is left on it, and I don't think my heads will like it. And so so there it was. But so if you're storing your own tapes, climate controlled, that's the word you really care most about. And of course, back in the day when we were young and didn't have a lot of money, tape was not necessarily cheap. And so you wouldn't necessarily buy the brand new, nice Scotch tape, or you'd scavenge. I was a dumpster diver, yeah. And what I discovered early on was doctor's offices. And what was good about that is they had to have continuing medical education, whatever points for their licenses. And there were companies, Physicians Journal and all that, that would send them these, how to do heart surgery in 3 easy lessons. I don't know what's on them, but would send them these tapes. And of course, I don't know that they listened to them or not, but they definitely threw them out. Yeah, and here comes Raleigh. That's right. So I collected, I must have been hundreds of those over the years, only to find, of course, within a few years that the quality of tape was not necessarily, shall we say, up to snuff. But I digress. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I meant to tell you this earlier in January, but it was in 1954 that the duoscopic television receiver was unveiled. And this was a fascinating little ditty. It allowed a person or a group to watch two different shows at the same time. Now, mind you, this is 1954. Television is primitive, black and white. Hell, most of them are green and white. But this was a picture-in-picture split screen, and it was tested here in Chicago. And in New York City also. And Newsweek magazine played it up saying, when a husband wants to look at the fights and his wife prefers sitcoms, the duoscopic provides both at the same time. The audio must be phenomenal, right? The set contains two screens and a special mirror that throws one picture onto the other, creating a double image. But, even reading that, I'm not sure exactly how that was supposed to work. Polaroid windows filter out the unwanted image, and special earphones carry the separate soundtracks. Now, if you wanted to buy one of these jewels of the video world, it would set you back $600, which doesn't sound a lot, but in today's dollars, that would be $6,640. You would think that you would just spring for a couple of sets and sit in separate rooms, but you're saying, who made this monstrosity? And then it all makes sense. Dumont. That's right. And within 2 years, both were gone. The Dumont Network, which gave us some interesting shows, Captain Video, but nonetheless, both were gone by 1956. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. And if you've called in the past asking questions and didn't get in, and I think it was, I don't remember, I guess it was actually our buddy in Baltimore, Nick, who wanted to know about the synchronous operation of KOB in Albuquerque. And I did some research because I thought, oh, they didn't keep doing that, did they? But actually, yeah, they're still doing it to greater or lesser or better or worse, emphasis on worse degrees. So we can talk about that. And I think TJ also wanted to know why radio ads give the phone number out 47 times in 36 seconds. And there's a reason for that. We can talk about all that. Or since it is the beginning of the year, we have the National Enquirer 45 celebrity predictions for the year ahead. Let me find this here. Of course, this scares me because most of the time I don't know they're celebrities anymore. But I know I'm not totally alone in that. But let's Haunted Harry is consumed by hate. Oh, yes, it has to have a royal family story or two. What else do we have? Celine in grips of incurable disease. All righty then. Ivanka marriage is on the rocks. Actually, that's the big cover story, too. So we might find out about that if all else fails. So I'm looking for these celebrity predictions. Predictions are always good on YouTube. And I've mentioned before, when I go to sleep at night, I go to YouTube and try to find something that's interesting enough that my mind doesn't wander into places that'll keep me awake, and not interesting enough that it will keep me awake. And finding that sweet spot isn't always easy. But around this time of year, predictions. You can get a psychic predicting anything you want right now. You want the stock market to do well. You want it to crash. You want real estate to go up, to go down. You want war to be declared. You want the currency itself to... It's all there. Every bit of it is there. All right. So John got a couple of calls from people who said, I want to talk about politics. Well, you don't get to. This is a respite from that. Yes, if it's anything of significance, we don't talk about it. But if it's not significant at all, then this is your show. And part of that keeps my blood pressure in check. And part of it is actually that it's a safe haven. If you want to hear something political, there is no shortage of opportunity. And whatever viewpoint you want to espouse, if you include all the internet streams as well, you can find somebody who is in absolute lockstep with you right now, no matter what it is. So here, we'll talk about the celebrity predictions for the National Enquirer. And we'll get to Leanne Marcus Hook, James on the South Side with his 832 links, and they're always wonderful. So let's see what we have. Johnny Depp will hit new career heights after launching a Truth or Dare podcast. Political heavyweight Donald Trump will wilt under the pressure of an unsuccessful presidential campaign and have a catastrophic collapse from serious health issues. Tom Hanks will be flattened by COVID-related symptoms again, but he'll fully recover, and he and his wife Rita will manufacture boxed chocolates. I can't imagine why they'd be thinking that, but okay. Wash out Wendy Williams. Mental health issues will lead to an embarrassing and offensive incident that will cancel her career for good after another trip to rehab. Jim Carrey will reboot Ace Ventura Pet Detective, but he'll pay a terrible price on set when he wounds his pride by sitting on a porcupine. Well, hey, that could be an entire segment. I'd like to watch that. Well, we'll pick it up right there. We have Jane Fonda news and Haley and Justin Bieber and Kanye West and Tiger Woods and all sorts of predictions that mean absolutely nothing right here. But in the meantime, we'll take a break from lack of reality and maybe talk reality or not. You'll find out on WGN Radio News right here on WGN Radio.
Yes, it's really me. After all the wrong I've done, I guess you're surprised to see me. Here at your door, like a spell.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Johnny Adams with the 1969 version of Reconsider Me, which was on Shelby Singleton's SSS International. And you can just hear that that was produced in Nashville. And indeed, it was. And it charted for him, too. A lot of the SSS re-releases, re-records, I should say, did very well. They redid I Won't Cry. Yeah, which is one of my all-time faves, and more. But yes, did a knockout job with Reconsider Me. And it was Brian and Joliet who wanted to hear that. So, 888-876-5593, 888-88. Raleigh, we'll get back to predictions, according to the National Enquirer, what's in store for your favorite stars. And we've got 45 of them. Of course, we have absolutely no idea who came up with these predictions. Well, obviously, the headline writers, I would say. But they're claiming, on the other hand, that they have mystics. Yeah. They have Sir Anthony Lonsdale Carr, the world's most documented psychic. Must not be in English because I've never heard of the guy. Identical twins Chin-hee and Sun-hee Park. I have no idea where they got that duo. Jennifer Fields, Jeannie Gonzalez, and Suzanne Gerber. You know, I thought I'd heard of all these people, but I guess it fits because I don't know half of the people they're making predictions for either. But there it is. We'll have more, undoubtedly. But right now we got Leah and Marcus Hook with an update. So how you feeling today, Leah?
Hi, Raleigh. I'm, you know, the same. A lot of pain.
The pain's not getting better at all?
No. But I'm managing it.
Is it getting worse?
No, it's okay. Not getting worse.
Okay,
it's just
good. Good.
Staying the same, but I'm managing it.
Yeah.
Between my pills and my medical marijuana.
Well, I looked for an email from you so I could look up that doctor for you, but I didn't get one.
Yeah, I sent it tonight at 9:30.
Okay. Then I will look for it again. I will have to hit refresh and get it, and I'll find out about your new gynecologist. All right. Whose name?
Yeah,
whose
that would name have been 8:30 your time, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, whose name will not be mentioned on the radio for obvious reasons, but we'll at least see if the rest of the world thinks you're in good hands.
And I don't know her. I didn't know her first name, so.
All right. Well, something. Yeah, that's right. We don't usually need a first name, so that's all right.
Okay.
Well, I still don't have it. Now, this is really weird. Let me see if I... Well, no, I don't have it. Why don't I have this? I don't know. The last email I got from you is, like I talked about the other day, was January 1st. I don't know what's happening to your emails.
I don't know.
Hmm. And you're sending them to Raleigh@Raleigh.net.
Yes, I am.
And you're spelling Raleigh correctly.
Yes, I do.
Right, you know.
I have it in my address book, so
right.
I just click on it. And,
right.
You know.
Isn't that interesting? Well... What have we here? Well, after we're done talking, I'm going to put you on hold and give John the name.
Okay.
And we'll do it that way. In the meantime,
oh, can I say a quick rest in peace to a couple people?
Absolutely.
To Jeff Beck, who went last week.
Yes,
he passed
he did.
Away.
Yes,
and he did. Also to David Crosby from Crosby, Stills, Nash. He died today.
Yes, he did. All right.
And I just want to say rest in peace to them.
Well, absolutely. And a lot of coverage on that. We had some people calling to talk about that, and John said, you do not want to talk to Raleigh about David Crosby. You really don't. And Raleigh doesn't want to say anything bad about anybody who has just died. So I'll go with rest in peace also.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because I musically, no, we're obviously not on the same page in any way, shape, or form. But
oh, no, I wasn't going to ask you to play him or anything.
No, I understand that. But that's why I didn't bring it up, because the old, if you don't have something good to say, don't say it. But, of course, as a human being, you hope that he's transitioned to the other side and he is resting in peace.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal.
Okay.
All right. Well, hang on. Don't go away, because I don't know if I'll ever... Obviously, if I'm not seeing these emails, I don't know why, but that's a bigger problem. But hold on and give John the name, and then I will write you back on the address that you have given me in previous emails. All right. So we'll see how that goes. Happy to check that out. And I did have a couple people who even emailed to say, what's up with Leah? Well, now you know. Well, the next appointment is the 30th of January, and I know she'll be calling in with all of the details. So, yeah, in addition to, it seems like January, this January is treacherous. There's been so many deaths, and, of course, on and on the list goes, and we were just talking about Blue Magic, and that was terrific. But also, it would have been yesterday, actually, Bob Bell's 101st birthday yesterday. And of course, if you're from Chicago, you know that Bob Bell was Bozo the Clown on WGN, and he would have turned 101 yesterday. Born in Flint, and he was on the air in radio and TV in Indianapolis and in Cincinnati. In Cincinnati on the Wally Phillips Show before Wally came to WGN. And when the Cincy crew moved to Chicago, so did Bob. And died, sadly, San Diego County, December 8th, 1997. 75 years old. So, yeah, 101. Hard to believe. All right, so we will get to Johnny D here. And Johnny D, of course, in Youngstown. What's happening tonight?
Yes, hello, Raleigh. I called because you had asked me to call back tonight earlier, okay? Last night.
Okay. What are we talking about?
I don't know. That's what I wanted to know from you. What did you want to know? I could do for you?
I have no idea. Whatever we were going to talk about last night when I gave you short shrift, I said, call earlier tomorow night, we can talk about it. So I have no idea.
I just had a song request last night, which I didn't hear yet.
What is
Louis Prima.
Yes, Louis Prima. It's funny you say that because I was thinking about you when I put the request for the original I Ain't Got Nobody, the Marion Harris version, which I was going to get to. But I'll see if I can't. I don't think I have that Louis Prima, so I've got to go find it first. But I
a banana split for my baby?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I have to find that, I think. But in the
well, you see, the reason I know about that, Raleigh, is like I told you, I listen to different artists on my YouTube music, you know.
Uh-huh.
And like if I put in Justin Gigolo, you know, Louis Prima.
Right.
But then I'll do that, and then they'll play something else by
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it'll build on it or all that. Well, when I was thinking Banana Split for My Baby, and that, of course, reminded me of a Cab Calloway song, and everybody eats when they come to my house, so I'll probably play that.
I think I heard that sometime or other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we played it, I think, in 2021. So we might, at least it's got banana in it. That's about the closest I guess I'm going to come tonight.
I think I heard that, Cab Calloway. But here's the deal.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to thank Leela for offering her condolences to one of my favorite singers.
Uh-huh.
Right? David Crosby, that cat nailed it, right?
Okay.
Now, let me tell you this, and I'm going to ask, like she said, she ain't asking you to play something, but I am.
But I won't do it.
One of my most favorite songs by David Crosby is called Rodriguez for a Night.
Okay.
Rodriguez for...
You listen to it somewhere else.
No, Rodriguez for a Night, I'm asking you to play it.
And I won't do it.
Because this song relates to, I appreciate his singing in that song.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the lyrics. It reminds me of my buddy that passed away a long time ago that, you know, went out sideways, okay?
But see, here's the thing, Johnny D. Obviously, you've got this song, and you can hear it anytime you want. So don't subject me to it.
I want everybody to hear.
No, it's not. Let them hear it somewhere else. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it was some old doo-wop guy, and you play it.
That's okay. Right. You're absolutely right. And I am the queen of the bumpers as far as that goes. You're absolutely right. I would if it was a doo-wop.
The lunatic fringe is with
you. That's exactly right. I own up to that 100%. You find somewhere else to listen to David Crosby. And right now, because of his death, you're hearing him everywhere. He's become ubiquitous. You can hear him with the birds. You can hear him with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. You can hear him with everybody else afterwards, so there's no shortage of places for this.
Well, one thing I bet you can't deny, Raleigh, the guy could sing.
I couldn't get, I'll tell you what, Celine Dion can sing too, but she's never sung a song I like, so I couldn't get past the material.
Well, if you don't like Rodriguez Vernet, then...
Yeah. Sorry about that.
You never heard the song, so how do you know if you don't like it?
I'm sure I don't, and, life is too short.
All right, okay. Let me get on to something that you'll
appreciate.
Be more reasonable about.
Yes, let's.
Because I do have one more song request, because I know last night Scotty requested a lot of James Brown stuff, and you played it immediately.
Yeah, play it. Well, of course, remember, if I like them, they have a much better chance. But there's another one I'm going to play, Try Me, for Scotty later tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I like that song by James Brown. But there's another one I like, and it came to mind because, a while ago, Lila was talking about Albert, her partner, and talking about the mashed potato. It was a dance, right? Now, James Brown made a song, There Was a Time.
Yes.
All right? I want to request There Was a Time by James Brown.
Okay.
All right. Okay, do that. Now, here's why I'm calling off. But that's not what I called about.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Now, here's what I want to ask you about. I want to ask you, I told John I had a radio question. I just found this little tidbit out last night, a few nights ago. Do you know, I found it out on YouTube. I was watching some videos of old things. Okay, I'll give you a hint if I say the word. Anyhow, do you know what was the most listened to radio broadcast in history?
Well, probably War of the Worlds. I don't know.
No, it wasn't War of the Worlds. It wasn't. It was the Joe Louis Max Schmeling fight, boxing match in 19, I don't know if it was 39, something like that.
Yep. Yeah, the fight. Yeah. Also, the Hindenburg got a lot of coverage, too. But yes, the Max Schmeling, I do know about this. But all right.
You know, I didn't know nothing about that stuff until I started watching. Because, I'm born in 52. I don't know nothing about Joe Louis.
Well, right. My mother used to
laugh at.
Well, it was a live.
My mother used to laugh at Cassius Clay.
Yeah, it was a live broadcast.
Said, that's when I knocked him out.
Yeah, this was the fight of the century. This was 1938, and it was a rematch. And Max Schmeling, as you would guess, was a German. And this was huge. And like I say, it was supposedly the largest single audience in history, for one radio show. And so it's in the Library of Congress. And so
was that the second fight or the first fight?
It was the rematch. It was the second one.
The rematch. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's when Joe Louis knocked him out.
Yeah, and Clem McCarthy was the announcer on that from NBC, and it was we always call it play-by-play coverage. Well, this was blow-by-blow coverage. It lasted 2 minutes and 4 seconds. And supposedly,
but the first fight, Joe Louis got knocked out.
The first, supposedly, an estimated 70 million people heard it on the radio. I'm not 100% sure who, in fact, took the ratings, but that was a rematch of a fight a couple years earlier when Schmeling defeated Louis, who had never been beaten before. So,
he only lost once. Yeah, that was it.
That was it. That was exactly right. So, yeah, for 4 minutes, 70 million people were listening enraptured to the blow-by-blow coverage.
Yeah, yeah. And, that was when Hitler was
Well, that's right.
Over the world.
That's when Adolf Hitler had marched into Austria. And so, yes, that was on a lot of people's mind, and defeating Schmeling was considered patriotic. So there you have it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So, yes, absolutely.
But what was I going to say?
John says I have to shut up and play commercials, so I'm going to go do it.
All right, well, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Dig me now, baby. Don't worry about later. Dig the things I used to do. They call them mashed potatoes. There was a day they call a joy. Everybody relax and watch me work.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, of course, it's James Brown. With that scream, who else could it be? 1968 on King. It was actually a two-sided hit. The A side, There Was a Time, got to number 3 on the R&B charts. And the B side, I Can't Stand Myself When You Touch Me, got to, yeah, there's a theme. It got to number 4 on the R&B charts. And There Was a Time was 36 on the pop charts. And I Can't Stand Myself was 26 on the pop charts. So a little reverse there. And yes, James Brown, I believe, wrote that. And there you have it. Both sides. 888-876-5593. 888 Raleigh. So now Johnny D can't snivel that I don't play his requests. I play some of them. All right, Frank and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you tonight, Frank?
Yes. Would you happen to have that song by Al Hibbler called He?
Oh, I do have it, and if you want it just for you, I'd play it. I wouldn't normally, but I'll do that for you, Frank. I'll play it for you next hour.
Yeah, okay. Can I get one more?
Well, I don't know. Let me hear what it is.
Sexual by Marvin Gaye.
Sexual Healing? Probably not, but I'll think about it. All right, thanks for calling.
Well, if you can't get that one, get Little Green Apple.
Oh, O.C. Smith. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yeah. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And as I say, James of the 4,832 links, as always, thanks for all of them, James. I don't know where you find the time.
You, well, when the phone, when my phone does decide to act right, okay, and then all of a sudden, okay, it won't stay, and then all of a sudden it'll just drop a whole bunch of them your way.
Your boy, do you ever?
I never know when it's going to actually act right on that.
Well, it outdid itself in the last couple days. There are literally hundreds of them, and still don't know much about what's going on in Idaho, and of course I'm waiting for more news, and nobody does, but we'll see. And of course you've got a lot of rape and mayhem, and Scott Peterson denied a new trial. No shock there as far as that one goes. And a second trial for Danny Masterson. Well, we'll see what happens with that. And inmate 25 has inappropriate fling with jail officer. I'll tell you, there's a fine line between criminal and jailer. That's for sure. And
yeah, and unfortunately, guess what? You'd be surprised. Okay, suppose if this is true, that more than a few, okay, I unfortunately have heard of more than a few of those penthouse forum confessions where supposedly some either the jailer or the inmate decide on sexual healing.
Yes, exactly.
That way.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's what can I say? Then we have, of course, supposedly Naomi Judge Jodes' suicide note, and you know. While I don't think it ever should have been divulged, period, something deeply personal for that family, I hope to God they got the right note. Because if they didn't, headlines that basically say Naomi was saying, do not let my daughter Winona come to my funeral because she's mentally ill, that should be actionable. That's so unacceptable. But there you
Yeah, that is wrong. You don't really, that should never been divulged because that's just sense. More hurt.
Oh, of course it does. You've ended the hour. We're going to the news. We'll talk to you soon, and thank you. All right. So
you're
we'll
welcome.
Pick it up.
Also about the chocolate.
Oh, yes. We'll get there. Thanks. All right. But right now we'll get to the news on WGN Radio.
He can turn the tides and calm the angry sea. Alone decides who writes a symphony. He lights every star that makes our darkness bright. He keeps watch all through each long and lonely night. He finds the time to hear a child's first prayer. Saint or sinner calls and always find him there. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say, I forgive.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's Al Hibbler. And that was on Decca. And what was the record he had right before that in 1955, Unchained Melody. He was one of a handful of people who went to number one with the theme from the movie Unchained. And he did it on in April of 55. And then by that fall, September 55, he was back on the charts with He. Got to number 13. It was his last chart record. And interesting, because he was with us until 2001, but never another charter. His first charter came in 48 with number two record Trees, and the flip side was Lover Come Back to Me, which is a terrific record. That was on Miracle. They had one on Atlantic, and I think he had Danny Boy on Atlantic, and then of course he had one on Chess, What Will I Tell My Heart, and the other two were on Decca, and that's pretty much it. So, underrated as far as chart action is concerned. Unchained Melody got to number 3 on the pop charts, and He got to number 4. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And we go to Buck in Nashville. All right, Buck, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, gee, I almost fell asleep during that Al Hibbler.
You and me both. I know. But hey, you know,
good.
I had to turn down David Crosby, so I figured I couldn't nix Al Hibbler at the same time. So, what's up?
Well, I wanted to extend your remarks at the end of Monday's show regarding the bumper stumper.
Oh, yeah.
And also tell you that you didn't play my favorite all-time R&B recording by Van McCoy, and I'll get to that in a few minutes.
Yeah, please don't tell me it's The Hustle.
No.
Oh, okay.
He was disco king, but I wanted to know why he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Is that the reason?
No, I think...
Because he was disco king?
No, I'll tell you, I firmly believe that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a sham. It's mostly Jan Wenner from Rolling Stone magazine, and he's a little too hip for the room. Why isn't Neil Sedaka in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, for God's sakes? How many teeny bop records did he top the charts with? On and on the list is. Why isn't Pat Boone in there?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, we can all shudder at those covers, those horrible covers, but without those covers, mass appeal audiences would have never heard those songs.
That's correct, correct. But about Van McCoy.
Yes.
We have something in common because you wrote online at Raleigh.net that he died at the age of 39 in 1979 in Englewood, New Jersey, my hometown.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of
and,
people.
And the other thing we have in common is we were both operated on at Englewood Hospital.
Mm.
I managed to walk out after an emergency appendectomy and a tonsillectomy 2 years apart.
Wow.
But he unfortunately had a heart attack and never got out of the hospital alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was really sad because he was so prolific. So what's your favorite Van McCoy record?
Well, and another question I have for you is that so he worked in New York City and lived in Englewood.
Right.
I wanted to know if you have any idea why he moved to Englewood, although it's a New York City bedroom community.
That's why.
And an ideal place to live, because I loved living there for 18 years.
Right. That's why. He was originally from D.C., and he moved there, you know, as far as I know, it would be much closer to the New York market, because that's where a lot of that production was taking place.
But here's the thing. I had an elementary school classmate who claimed to be Jocko Henderson's nephew.
Okay.
Douglas Jocko Henderson of Jocko's Rocket
and,
Ship
and of course,
Philadelphia.
Jocko was originally from Baltimore.
Yeah.
His,
but, you know,
his father was...
Van,
I was going to say, his father was superintendent of schools there for a while in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Jocko was very educated.
But here's the thing about about my friend, excuse me. let me think now what I want to say about this connection. Van and Jocko formed Vando Records.
Oh, that's true.
And that was a short-lived label.
Right.
And, of course, Doe is from Douglas Jocko Henderson.
Right.
So it could be that Jocko had relatives in Englewood. Maybe that's why Van made connections. And
no,
I wanted to know if you had any idea.
I don't think that was the connection. I think the connection goes back to Baltimore when Van was in D.C. because D.C. and Baltimore are right next to each other. So I think that it was probably that. Vando was formed in Philadelphia in 67. And so it was right on Locust Street. I don't think that it was an Englewood connection.
Okay. Well, maybe my... of course, there was a lady. Her name was Brenda Nelson Strauss.
Uh-huh.
My friend was Michael Nelson. I hadn't seen him since elementary school back in the 50s. But, there's a Nelson there connection. So maybe there was Jocko and relatives in Englewood, and somehow they got together and found a place for Van to live. And by the way, in 79, when Van passed away, it was the birth of rap in Englewood, of all places. Sylvia Robinson, queen of rap.
Right, of course, with her husband. Absolutely. That's 100% right. There was a lot going on.
Well, let me give you my request.
Okay.
By the way, I went to Wikipedia.org, and I looked up Van McCoy,
right?
And they didn't mention any of the singles that I'm
asking
you to play.
Of course.
And also the group that he formed with his brother. Do you remember there was a group that was a misnomer?
Yes.
You remember the other group, the group that he found? It was just like the 50s doo-wop group, the Four Buddies.
Yeah.
But Van and Norman overdubbed and called their group the Four Buddies, even though it was just the two of them.
Right.
So my request, it's a dedication to Raleigh from Buck.
Ah.
I want to be the boy you love.
Ah, isn't that nice?
Four Buddies.
Yeah, absolutely. you know, what I was saying on the air about that is I could have done songs by Van McCoy easily for another 2 or 3 weeks and not ever had to repeat any.
Yeah, and I didn't... recognize any of the tunes that you played, so I could never have solved the the Bumper Stumper.
Oh, yeah.
Because I looked them up, and I never heard them before, so I didn't look at the labels on YouTube to see that it was written by Van McCoy.
Right.
Each one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and I'll be staying online and listening to you on the radio when you're not, when the signal isn't fuzzed out.
Yeah, exactly.
On my AM radio.
Well, what I will
By
do.
By the way, I wanted to ask you a question about AM radio.
Yes.
I noticed when I listened to some basketball games from Syracuse, where I went to college, I can barely hear the play-by-play until the commercial comes on. And therefore, I understand that they must be turning up the gain, and it's over 50,000 watts during commercials, and they go down below, and it averages out to 50,000.
Yeah, it's not. It's
not. Right?
No, it's not. But I'll tell you, you're not alone. I used to DX when I was a kid, and I always believed that whenever the announcer was going to give the call letters, that the station would fade away. It would be the most annoying thing because, you know, you'd be waiting and waiting and waiting, and it usually would be a good hour before you figured out what you were listening to because it wasn't digital, of course, so you weren't sure where you were on the dial.
Right.
But no, that's just the ionosphere layer. And of course, who wants to hear the commercial? So you notice it more. But, you know, there are other parts where it would be just as loud.
Yeah, but over the years, I did remember that I could listen to the commercial and hope that
I
get back and hear the score of the game at least before the signal faded out.
Right, absolutely, and you're 100% right. It's almost like the gods of the ionosphere were plotting against you. But yeah, the four buddies you want to hear, that was on Imperial in 1964, and I've got the 45, so I will play it.
All right. Thank you, Raleigh.
Right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, good deal. So
bye-bye.
Good to hear from Buck. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Brian and Joliet. There's room for you two, and I guess Van McCoy and the four buddies. It just says the four buddies on the label. We'll be coming up next on WGN Radio. James, and yes, they're the four buddies, and that was on Imperial. It was a B-side, actually, to Just Enough of Your Love in 1964, and actually, the name was not unknown in the area. A decade earlier, there were the four buddies from Baltimore. They were on Savoy, and there were three or four other groups in the 50s that were also the four buddies, but these buddies, in this case, were in fact Van McCoy. So, 888-876-5593, and that's for Buck in Nashville. And we have Brian in Joliet. Welcome to WGN Radio, Brian.
Hi, Raleigh. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah.
And I kind of checking in with you to see if you would know or express something a little bit about the history of I believe his real name was Chester Burnett Howlin' Wolf. And if I could make a couple requests from him.
Howlin' Wolf requests. All right. So we're going way back here. And what you want to hear?
Well, I like Smokestack Lightning and Who's Been Talking.
Okay. Writing, Who's Been Talking. Okay.
And do you know anything about his life or career?
Yeah, yeah. And later, of course, did a lot of stuff with Willie Dixon. But he was born in Mississippi, like a lot of bluesmen. And in fact, he was born, like I say, about 1910, and he was not the earliest by any means. In some ways, he helped bridge the gap between Delta blues and Chicago blues, but he was one of six kids, and his mother kicked him out of the house when he was a child. He moved in with a great uncle, so it was your basic impoverished childhood, and he got to know Charlie Patton, who was a Delta blues guitarist, and started making a name for himself in the Mississippi Delta only. And he was in the Army for a while. There were some legal issues, and next thing you know, he's moved to Chicago as an adult. And who heard him but Ike Turner, who was nine, you know, and I think Howlin' Wolf was probably 18 or 19 at the time, not with any experience, but Ike Turner enlisted him in his band, so that started a lot of his career. And like I say, though, he had Sam Phillips connections, but then, and that's where you got, by the way, your Smokestack Lightning, that's a Sam Phillips connection, but, you know, then you get into, as I say, the period with Willie Dixon, and that was interesting. So what else do you want to know about him?
Well, that's about it. I was just kind of curious because I didn't really know that much. That's why I ask. You seem to know about everything. Mm-hmm. Photographic memory when it comes to music. And the only clip I ever saw of him was they had a thing way back in the mid-90s, kind of a history of the Rolling Stones. And it was a real early thing, and there was Jagger and Brian Jones and Jagger were being interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Jones cut the interview short and said, "Enough about us. I want to hear from Howlin' Wolf." And then it was Howlin' Wolf just a short, like maybe 30 seconds. And it seems like he would have been so much fun to have seen in concert, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, in the early days, again, the Memphis days, too, this is before Sam Phillips even had Sun Records. The Bahari brothers at Modern, they had one of the younger Bahari brothers was living in Memphis, and that's sort of about the time Howlin' Wolf got there. And so it was just an amalgamation of some very interesting people, and he became kind of a local celebrity there. And that's actually how he got on Chess, because Sam Phillips hadn't done enough Sun yet, and he had to license the recordings, and so he went to the Chess boys, and that was that connection there. And Howlin' Wolf obviously went up there. He had problems in the military, and I don't think it was like bad behavior or anything. I think it was he was only functionally literate. And I think that that his commanding officer, beat the hell out of him, basically.
Oh, no.
It wasn't pretty. But he was in Tacoma at that point, I think. And so, anyway, he had a series of hits, like I was mentioning, Willie Dixon, who, of course, had been hired by the Chess Brothers as a songwriter. And so, the competition between Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf was kind of intense there on that scene. Every once in a while, Wolf would say, "Hey, you wrote that song for Muddy. Buddy, how come you don't write one for me like that?" So it was the deal. And Dixon used a sort of reverse psychology and introduced songs to Wolf that were written for Muddy, inducing Wolf to kind of accept them. And so it was an interesting time. But yeah, but you want the early stuff. You want the stuff pre-Sun. So we'll try to get you some Smokestack Lightning.
Well, thank you very much, Raleigh. Right. And have a wonderful weekend. Look forward to Trivia Monday.
Yeah, me too. All right, thanks for calling.
All right, take care.
All right, so on that note, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio News on WGN Radio.
long. You got to wear your own, baby, you can't have your way.
WG at Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Howlin' Wolf, and it was on Chess, indeed. And if you got it in your collection and you're looking for it, remember, smokestack are two different words, even though the Grammy people don't necessarily think that. So Smokestack Lightning, 1956 on Chess, and at top 10 on the R&B charts, didn't chart pop. Another interesting thing about Howlin' Wolf, as I mentioned, he was functionally illiterate, and that got him in some trouble in the military. He later, much later, got his GED, actually because he wanted to take accounting classes and learn, you know, more to manage his own money. He was always good at that. He wasn't flashy and showy, you know, didn't necessarily drive the best car or whatever. But when he drove to Chicago, he had $4,000 in his pocket in the Pontiac he drove there. And interestingly, that was rare among his compatriots, to be sure. But he always was well balanced, and not only financially, but the gal that he married was actually more upper crust, and I think her family was somewhat aghast at first. But he really fell for her, courted her, and they were married till the day he died. And so, very stable life, which is not usually what you expect to hear for a blues musician. But that's Howlin' Wolf, and sadly, it was not a good end for him. He died at about 65 years old, but he had already gone into kidney failure to the point that he was doing dialysis at home. In fact, his wife was administering it, and for a few years. And then when he finally got to the point where he had to be admitted to the hospital, they not only realized that he needed heart surgery, but he had a brain tumor as well, and then pretty much that was the end. But so his last public performance was in Chicago at the International Amphitheater, and on that bill was B.B. King and Albert King and Luther Allison and O.V. Wright. And people who were there are talking about it to this day. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on a quiet Thursday evening. So this is the time, by all means, if you've got something on your mind, share it with me. Let me know what's happening. I rarely get much of a chance to waltz down memory lane with all the wonderful show prep that Carol does for me. And it's interesting to see who did what and when as far as that goes. And when I take a look at Thursday, which it is, by the way, January 19th, Carmen would have been 67 today. And, oh, man, was I a big Carmen fan. You know, Carmen was basically a Christian rock singer. But his Some of That, I thought, was just the absolute best. And, in fact, if you haven't heard it, it's just a terrific record all the way around. This was right before his Radically Saved tour.
Clyde, who sees this strength I got inside, so he says to me, hey, I want some of that. I say, Clyde, it's easy as 1, 2, 3, you just say this simple prayer with me. He said, not me, but I still want some of that. Sharing with this salesman Lyle, so he says with a $1 million smile, why, that's interesting, you know, here, I'd like some of that. I said, Lyle, you're gonna have to humble your pride and ask the Lord to come inside. He said, oh, but I still want some of that. In astrology, that horoscope you read is just a waste. You can't find it looking at the stars, Jupiter, the moon, and Mars. 'Cause you'll soon find that all you got was space.
in my eyes this peace. So yesterday she said,
I want some of this.
Some great, great lyrics in that song. Yeah, all of his friends smoking dope. One day they're going to find out that dope that's being smoked by friends is you. So, yeah, just classic stuff. So, rest in peace, Carmen. He would have turned 67 today, born in Trenton. Died, sadly, in 2021, and February 16th in Las Vegas. Yeah, he had been diagnosed with cancer in 2013. At first, it looked like he was cancer-free, but it returned in 2020 with a vengeance. And he was not in good shape, but just terrific. Yeah, that Radically Saved tour was absolutely terrific. Phil Everly would have been 84 today, born in 1939 in Chicago. And they grew up in Knoxville and in Shenandoah, Iowa, as far as that goes. Iowa always considers the Everly Brothers were hometown or home state, I should say, boys. But he died January 3rd in Burbank in 2014, just before his 75th birthday. And Don, the other half of the Everly Brothers, died in 2021 as well in Nashville, 84. Shelley Fabre, 79 today. Yeah, what a kick. She's the first one to tell you that she couldn't sing. But nonetheless, of course, like all of the child stars back then, she was forced to, and Johnny Angel was the result. Janis Joplin would have been 80 today, born in 1943 in Port Arthur. And you know the rest, died in 1970 of a heroin overdose, just 27 years old. Robert Palmer would have been 74 today. Yeah, way too young. His first solo album was Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley, and the title cut was, of course, written by Alan Toussaint, backed by the Meters, recorded in New Orleans. How could you not like that? And died in 2003 in Paris, just 54 years old. Dolly Parton, 77, hard to believe. Yeah, I remember when she came to Nashville. And born in 1946 in East Tennessee, extreme East Tennessee, to say the least. So what else do we have? Oh, on this date in 1966, Dion and the Dixie Cups were on Where the Action Is. Yeah, see, now if I knew they were going to be on, I'd have sat through Paul Revere and the Raiders and Steve Alamo and all that. The Dixie Cups, of course, did Ico Ico. Dion, for his part, did Ruby Baby. All right, we've got Steve Bryan in Las Vegas. Okay, Steve, what's happening tonight?
Hello, Raleigh. Hello, John.
How are you doing?
Doing fine. How about you guys?
Well, we can't complain. What am I saying? Yeah, what am I saying? Are you kidding? I've got a hole that's 6 feet by 8 feet in my backyard. Other than that, things are just swell.
Well, okay. Well, hey, the hole's there. You're ready to go.
Yes, that's right. But, I'll just jump in.
I've heard you playing Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw the movie. It's not all that accurate, but it's kind of accurate. The movie they made about the Chess Brothers.
Oh, the Cadillac movie.
Yeah.
I actually, Val Shively mailed that to me, and pretty much with a quote, is a suspend disbelief, you know.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, because he knew that it wasn't going to jive with what I knew, but I did. I don't remember it much other than I remember liking it.
Well, it was a wonderful tale. It was a wonderful story. Not much true, but,
exactly.
But a wonderful story.
Yeah.
But the actor who played Howlin' Wolf is the same actor. Great actor. He's been in a lot of movies, a lot of TV. The same actor. And forgive me for not knowing his name. Who plays the chief on Chicago Fire?
Really?
And he played Howlin' Wolf, and he played him perfectly because. You know, Leonard Chess is doling out the Cadillacs and all this. Yeah. And, you know, he said, hey, we'll get you in here. We'll get you a Cadillac. He said, no, you see that truck? The old beat-up truck. You see that truck? That's mine. And I don't have to be beholden to anybody. He said, you pay me. I don't need your Cadillac. And I thought that's pretty much sums up Howlin' Wolf.
Well, it does. Yeah, Emin Walker, I think, is the guy who played Emin Walker. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
That was great. And Cedric the Entertainer actually played Willie Dixon, and I thought did a fine job of Willie showing off his songwriting craft when he was showing him the riff to Hoochie Coochie Man and what have you, because Dixon was primarily a bass player.
Right.
Which I thought was very cool, a songwriter who's a bass player. I thought that and had to influence his writing a great deal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Columbus Short played Little Walter too. I remember that.
Yes. When I grew up, the man who raised me, my great uncle Ed, had all these old race records on the Bluebell, Paramount label, what have you.
Sure.
That's basically how I learned to play guitar, by copying these guys.
Oh yeah.
And then my uncle just totally screwed me up and took me to that big Bossa Nova concert at Carnegie Hall in 1961.
Oh, wow.
So I was like taken away by that. So most everything I write and play is blues and Bossa Nova influenced.
That works. It absolutely works.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Caterina Valentes of the world, sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
Excellent. And, well, it is a sad day, because may I mention David Crosby?
Oh, you can. We know what I think of David Crosby as far as the music, but it is a sad
day.
It is absolutely.
It is a sad day. Well, he was on QVC. And you know how they say, don't speak ill of the dead? here's a problem that I have wrestled with my entire life in music. Many great composers and musicians were absolute horrid individuals. Beethoven was a creep, probably died of syphilis, but that's controversial, but I'm pretty sure he did. And here's the thing, when he had syphilis and had all the symptoms, he went to these springs, the hot springs,
right,
somewhere in Europe, and sat there, basically giving it to everybody else.
Lovely. just lovely.
Yeah, just a wonderful thing. But all of them, I mean, they were just, many of them were just miserable, horrible, somehow unsatisfied people. And sadly, his time at QVC, he was there with the band with his son, the one that sort of popped up.
Oh, right, the one that was given away at adoption.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As it popped up, is that the group, I think, was called CPR.
Right. And, so, yeah, absolutely, something like that. Yes.
Yeah, and they play. And look, they were he had an otherworldly ability to harmonize, and he wasn't a bad for the genre.
Yeah.
Wasn't a bad songwriter. Now, we're really a fine songwriter. I think "Long Time Gone" stands as kind of an anthem to tyranny and evil through the years. And it may not be some people's tastes, but it's a good piece of music, and his lyrical ideas were great. But then again, you have to look at, without going into the craziness of it, look at the sad ending of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, because he just stood firm. He got mad, and when he got mad, that was it. He was done.
Yeah.
He was toasted. Never got to get, well, they don't have to worry about it now.
Exactly.
That
is a real rest in peace, because he did not have a peaceful life.
Well, exactly. May he find the tranquility and peace that he so escaped him in life. And here's, this is not telling tales, because he was on Twitter, and I followed him on Twitter, and he used to rate people's joints.
Oh.
They would roll a joint and say, "What do you think, David?" And he would critique it.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, this is a man that helped to change the course of popular music, like it or not, and he's critiquing joints. Okay, he's 81. But again, may he find that peace and tranquility. I heard you mention Howlin' Wolf, and I thought, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and of course, you know, I'd see that stuff and say, I knew it! I just knew it!
That's very good, yeah. Well, that's true. He was, and a lot of his Twitter posts were embittered very, very sad, but look, he made it to 81, and I think, that was with only two livers.
Two livers, but yeah. And, I often wondered how he ever got the first one, considering usually they would have kind of exempted him due to his lifestyle, shall we say.
Well, yes, except when he went to pay for it, it was, let's see, $1,500,000.
Right, and didn't Phil Collins pay for this or something? I mean, there's some deal where...
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I believe so. But at least he only had one. John Phillips had two, as I recall.
Yeah. Now, back to guitarists a moment. We're talking, because you mentioned that the 1961 Bossa Nova concert. Now, this woman wasn't on it, but she was my favorite Brazilian guitarist, was Rosina de Valença. Are you familiar with her?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I am. She's phenomenal. Yeah. She's phenomenal. I mean, that whole genre of music, and that big concert at Carnegie Hall, I mean, Jobim was there, Astrid Gilberto, Stan Getz, et cetera. Very, very, very young Sergio Mendes was there.
Right, when he had the Sergio Mendes trio, absolutely.
You got it, you got it. And it was just I walked out of the concert, and it was a two-hour drive back to where we lived in southern New Jersey. When I got home, I just grabbed the guitar and said, okay, these chords shift gears like a 57 Chevy. How are they doing this?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm listening, and I'm like, okay, this and this. And just amazing, amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. Jobim was one of those people I always wanted to meet.
Oh, God, yes. No, he was truly, truly wonderful. And you mentioned that because, of course, that's around the time that Walter Wanderley had Summer Samba, but the guy who wrote it was Marcos Valle. And I thought Marcos Valle was the absolute best. And somebody had requested Summer Samba, the Walter Wanderley, I think, and I said, hell, I'm going to play it by Marcos Valle, so I will this hour or next hour.
Good deal.
Yeah,
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, Raleigh, thank you so much. It's good to reminisce this way.
Absolutely. Call anytime. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right, good deal. All right, so Steve saves me. Now, 888-876-5593. We get to Debbie and Valerie and Mark and you two coming up. And, yeah, I will play that Marcos Valle cut because he did write Summer Samba when he was 18 years old. You know, all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Você viu só que amor, nunca vi coisa assim. E passou, nem parou, mas olhou só pra mim.
Se voltar, vou atrás, vou pedir, vou falar. Vou dizer que o amor foi feitinho pra dar. Olha, é como o verão, quente o coração.
Salta de repente para ver a menina que vem.
Ele vem, sempre tem em cima no olhar. E vai ver, tem que ser, nunca tem quem amar.
Hoje sim, diz que sim, já cansei de esperar. Nem parei, nem dormi, só pensando em me dar. Peço, mas você não vem bem.
Deixa então, falo só, digo ao céu, mas você vê.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It is Marcos Valle and his wife at the time, Ana Maria. And in fact, that came out in 68, and he wrote that song when he was 18. And then, of course, Walter Wanderley made it a hit in 1960. But the interesting thing was Ana Maria, the wife at the time, got heavily into drugs and went nuts. And she wound up being homeless, and she would just roam the beaches. They called her, like, the Lady in White, and at some point a bus hit her, but she somehow lived. But then I was looking to see, where is she now? And I can't find anything on this woman. But before she had married Marcos Valle, she was the daughter of one of the big stars on Rede Globo, the Brazilian radio network. And I have no idea what happened to her, but I've always been curious. But anyway, that was her. That was Ana Maria singing with Marcos Valle, who wrote So Nice, which Walter Wanderley recorded as Summer Samba, but you got to hear it in the original Brazilian. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Debbie is in Raleigh. So Debbie, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh my goodness. I was going to give you a variety of things. I guess you'll just tell me when to hush. some people were looking for an 800 number for the, or phone number for the post office anyway.
They were?
One of those, a few weeks ago, they were talking about,
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Don't go away.
I'm brain dead. I'm sorry.
You don't have to hush, but you do have to hang on a few minutes, so stay right where you are.
I will hang on.
All right. We'll pick it up right there after the news on WGN Radio.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate too. Here's cacciatore, Dory. Taste the bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house. I fix your favorite dishes, hoping this good food fills ya. Work my hands to the bone in the kitchen alone. You better eat if it kills ya. Pass me a pancake mandrake. Having a derby irby. Look in the fendel mendel. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hannah, Davy, Tommy, Dora, Mandrake. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Pasta fazula, tolula. Oh, do have a bagel, bagel. Now don't be so bashful, Nashville. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hey, this is a party, Marty. There, you get the cherry, Jerry. Now look, don't be so picky, Mickey. 'Cause everybody eats when they come to my house.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, Cab Calloway, 1948 on Columbia, Shellac, 78 RPM. And that was Everybody Eats When They Come to My House. All right, so we were talking with Debbie in Raleigh when the news so rudely interrupted her, but she's back.
Okay, I got it together a little bit better. But they were talking about getting phone numbers through directory assistance.
Mm.
And one of the, Scotty was wanting a number for UPS, USPS rather, and the 800 number for that is 843-8777. And I don't know if that'll help any folks.
Well, don't even bother. You're calling national call centers. What people want, they're not going to get, which is the local number of the post office down the block. They're not going to give you that.
Well, there's another one that's probably right up there with it. It's 800-373-4111, and it's automated, but it will work in a pinch. It won't.
No.
It's probably a waste of time.
It's the road to ruin. No, and of course, today I was on the phone with a government agency, which one will remain nameless for the moment. But anyway, of course, I call the 800 number. I know I'm diving directly into hell, and I get the plethora of voicemail menus, and finally I select the one that applies to my particular situation. I was on hold for 43 minutes, count them, 43 minutes, at which time I got a recording saying, I'm sorry, this service is not available right now. So no, don't give anyone a toll-free number.
I know it. Okay, I'm not gonna get you stirred up, and I'm not gonna.
Yeah, no toll-free
on that subject. I'm gonna go to something more pleasant. Okay.
All right, good.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. Okay, I found the fellow you were looking for. I want to say his last name was Foster. I might have that wrong, but don't want to call him a disc jockey, but the fellow that somebody was asking about, I found his profile on spoke.com.
Uh-huh.
And you all were talking about memories and everything, and I about 45, and I happen to have about 6 or 7 copies of a recording my brother and I made back in the 60s.
Oh.
45.
Oh.
Yeah, I know that's not worth anything to anybody but me.
Well, that's right. Although, actually, it's those records that there are only 6 or 7 copies that very often are worth the most.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the funny thing is, we would record gospel songs for the morning devotion on a local TV station. And we would go down on a Sunday and record 5 songs. And we would bring changes of clothes so people would think we were there every day. So that was kind of an interesting memory.
All right.
And, you know, you were talking about medical things, and I just wondered what causes the end of your fingers to feel like they would if you pinched them in a door.
Oh, that can that can be a neuropathy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not diabetic, but it
don't have to be.
I know. You know, it's the medical... Don't get me started. But the medical thing is just so pitiful.
You're right.
You can't get an answer.
No, well, it's the practice of medicine because they're still practicing, and when it falls into the neat categories that they, the neat categories they understand, they can do something. But when you're talking about nerve damage, which can give you that, there are so many possibilities as to why that they just flat out don't know, and about the only thing they can do is try to treat the symptom, which of course has absolutely nothing to do with the cause.
Yeah. Then the final thing is, when we're talking about various things, the song came to mind, Here Comes the Judge.
Yeah.
When you were talking about all the various indictments and, you know, whatever's
for
this and that person.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely. Shorty Long or Pigmeat Markham, which version do you like better?
I don't know. Okay. Well, I love your program because you always enlighten me about so many things. And I've learned so much by listening to you. It's just, and you're so diverse. I don't know any other way to put it, but I really appreciate listening to you and your callers. And
well, great to.
I can't get enough of you. I mean, I know this sounds stupid, but I just you just have such a way with words, and your personality just is so interesting. You know how you push some colors to the curve and how you let others go on and on.
Yeah, I guess that's unfair, but true, indeed. That's absolutely accurate. All right, well...
I have friends, and I promise you, I could just lay the phone down and pick it up in 20 minutes, and they'd still be babbling on about nothing, and I wouldn't have missed anything.
Well, funny you say, Beck. That was one of the infamous things when I was younger. I had a friend. He worked at CBS, then Paramount, and he talked quite at length. And at one point, I put the phone down, took a shower, and came back, and he was still talking. And at one point, he said, "Did you take a shower?" I said, "Yeah." So, yes, indeed. I understand completely.
It is funny, but thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
I'm sure I forgot half of what I wanted to say, but anyway.
You'll call me back.
Thanks for giving me your time.
Well, thanks.
Oh, I will.
Okay,
thanks
bye.
A lot.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Yeah, it was Pigmeat Markham, actually, who made the phrase popular, you know, here come the judge, and that was a catchphrase on Laugh-In, of course, and Sammy Davis Jr., kind of made it a catchphrase, but Pigmeat Markham had, and then Shorty Long, who of course was the original devil with the blue dress, had a hit version of it too. So indeed, and most people think of Pigmeat Markham, but I always like to give Shorty Long some credit there. 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh, and that will take us to Valerie in Warrenville. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Valerie.
Hey, Raleigh.
What's up?
Hope you're feeling a little better than you were yesterday.
Yeah, strange. I was just telling John where I had a lot of pain, and I won't belabor that. But all he said to me, he says, "You don't drink enough water." I said, "Well, that sounds like an easy cure. Bring me a bottle." And so I don't really think it's going to do anything, but I'm happy to drink the water.
Yeah, water is always good.
It can't hurt.
Marianne, not on the show. But remind us about the prosperity check.
I will be happy to do that. That is Saturday. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to write your prosperity check just before the new moon. And the new moon mm-hmm. in Chicago time and Central time will be at 2:53 p.m. So that means write it at about 3:15 in the afternoon and you'll be good. It'll be a new moon that is 1 degree in Aquarius. And, of course, the deal with the prosperity checks is you're just telling the universe of your intent and you're asking for prosperity. It doesn't have to be money. It can be any form of prosperity, good health, or what have you. And you're supposed to do it right before the new moon. And the new moon is Saturday, 2:53 Central Time.
Okay. Does it have to be in an act? Can we use an actual check and just kind
no,
of?
No. Well, you could, but you don't have to. Yellow paper is usually preferable for reasons I have no idea. But you can just, take it out, and it can be a check. Obviously, you're not going to be cashing it. This is not real money for mm-hmm. anybody who's wondering about this. Or you can just, take a piece of paper and draw it out. And the mm-hmm. deal is, you never put in the date. Because you don't want to tell the universe when your prosperity is coming. And you never put mm-hmm. in the amount because you don't want to limit your prosperity. So you write your name on the pay-to line, you leave the amount blank, and then on the line where you would normally write out the amount, just write paid in full, and then sign it, Law of Abundance. And that's it.
Okay.
You don't date it. Now, the bad thing about these checks is you're not allowed to throw them away, ever, because you'll be throwing away the prosperity. So, needless to say, I have boxes of checks. See, so I have no idea. They do make a good insulation when you're moving. But other than that, I don't know. But you're not allowed to throw them out, so I don't throw them out.
Hmm. Does Marianne have, she has checks that she can buy
absolutely. You can. You absolutely can. The Law of Abundance checkbook, and the checks are right there, the date, the pay to, and all that. And she also has mm-hmm. in that when the new moons are. So this would be Eastern time when the new moon is. And so that's the deal.
Okay. And an update on her moving?
Well, she's in the process of it as we speak. She's in the Cleveland area. She's staying there, but she's moving closer to one of her daughters.
Okay. And no schedule on next month yet?
Not yet. I want her to get into the move first. I don't want to bog her down with a date.
Okay. So you'll update us at the beginning of the month?
Well, or I'll update you when I know,
okay.
whenever that might be. Yes, and for anybody else who wants to know more, of course, MarianneWinkowski.com will tell you about it. And, but I'm sure that an internet search could do that as well. Now, what's interesting is Marianne swears that you do this right before the new moon, not after.
Mm-hmm.
And other people mm-hmm. online will tell you you do it right after the new moon. So there's different thoughts about this, but for the most part, I'd go with Marianne.
Yeah, well, she has a very good track record in dealing with these kinds of things, and considering she is the original Ghost Whisperer.
Well, that's right. Absolutely, and the show gives her credit. So, so that's it. And, other people will advise you write down the amount of money you want to manifest. Don't do that. Just let the universe decide what your limitless abundance will in fact be.
Yeah. Putting out there that you would like to have wealth, and that way you don't limit the kind of wealth that comes.
That's exactly right. And so that's what you do. And it's you can write the abundance check anytime, but the emphasis is stronger right before the new moon.
Because that way you're focusing your intentions
yes.
on being open to receiving the positive
Well, that's it. And this goes back to, you know, Buddhist and Hindu teachings and all that. But in America, it kind of goes back to the 19th century when they had all that movement with the table tipping and all those other things that the crazy people did, and the Fox sisters and all that. And that's about the time it came in. And it's similar to the law of attraction, of course. You know, it's a universal law. And this is a way to let the universe know that you are ready for it manifesting abundance.
Yeah. Well, the Age of Enlightenment took about, what, a century to get out of Europe and into America?
Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting when you start looking at some of the late 1800 people and all that. And some of them, of course, were very sincere, but a lot of them just recognized a good scam when they saw one. So there's a lot of books you can read, and some of the people and some of the offshoots. And, you know, then there was Madame Blavatsky, Helene Blavatsky, and she started the Theosophists here, which actually were in Wheaton, Illinois. I don't know if they still are, but because I used to get books from them. You know, like the Devachanic Plane.
I think those guys are still around. I think I got invited to that place last year sometime.
Yeah, but I remember.
And I've never actually gone over there.
It was in Wheaton, but I liked reading about, you know, the first book was about the astral plane, and then of course I had to get the book on the Devachanic Plane, and then I got them all. You know, but I've never met one of these things that I won't look into. After all, I was a Rosicrucian for a good 20 years, and I got all the lessons. Now, by the way, if you're asking me if I did all those experiments or read those lessons, no, but I still own them. They're still in, you know, they're still in a box. So, yeah, I got that. And then, of course, the Self-Realization Fellowship, yeah, Paramahansa Yogananda, I got all that stuff, too. In fact, John had mentioned he had a friend whose father was into that, and I said, oh, I know about that. Let me get you all the lessons. I unpacked him. I said, here you go. Here's 4 years' worth. So, you know, he said, you read these? I said, no, but I got them. But just in case, you know. So, yeah.
Why? Yeah, I'm trying to remember while you're talking. There is some guy that wrote a book. He was coming from the Carolinas, and it had to deal with ascendance.
With ascendance?
Ascendance.
Yeah, there's lots of book on that. Robert Hand wrote a lot of different books, Hand did several, but there were Pelletier did a bunch of books. I've got all those at the other studio. Never met one of those books that I don't have either. So sadly, I was too long of tooth by the time I discovered Vedic astrology, and I've never really gotten into that. But I really wish that I had more time and interest in that, because as far as a predictive tool, nothing beats the Vedic system.
Yeah. I was introduced to it by someone who is a Sikh.
Okay, sure.
That was interesting. There were Punjabi Sikhs, and that was interesting that he was expanding his learning. By choosing to study this.
Yeah, absolutely. Sikhism.
A conflict going on.
Right. Sikhism and Hinduism and all that, they all have an astrological component. In fact, in the Sikh religion, it's part of the cosmic play. So, sure, there's a connection there. And now, of course, that's debatable. You will find some Sikhs who will say that, no, we don't do that anymore. You know, but that's just like the Orthodox Jewish people who still believe in the Kabbalah and all that. And then a lot of the secular Jewish people who say, oh, that's nonsense. So you've got different views all the way around. It's rather a smorgasbord. So whatever you want, you can, in fact, find it.
Yeah. I also reconnected with the Church of the Brethren recently.
Oh yeah,
which is one of my religious heritages.
Okay,
and minister that I talked to was, I don't think it was originally Lutheran.
Okay.
But he didn't go through seminary until he was 40.
That's not unusual. I see a lot of that, people middle age who then do that. But yeah, Church of the mm-hmm. Brethren has an interesting past all the way around. That goes back to the 1700s in Germany.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And John says, you're out of time, Raleigh. Play commercials, so I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Talk to you.
Yeah, so we'll do that. And then we'll get to Mark. We'll get to Johnny D. We'll get to James in Oregon. And you too, if you call on WGN Radio.
Destination real. I'm an ever spinning top, whirling around till I drop. Oh, but what am I to do? My mind is in a got me going in circles, oh, round and round I go. Got me going in circles, oh, round and round I go. I'm strung out over you. Clock with timeless hope that never stops. Oh, when I feel that
WGN way. Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Garland Green. Yeah, the guy who had a hit with Jealous Kind of Fella. They did a fine version of Going in Circles. You know, Johnny D requested By the Friends of Distinction, but I decided that we were going to go with Garland Green. Yeah, Chicago's own. He was originally from Mississippi. He was like the 10th of 11 children, but he moved to Chicago as a kid and was singing on the weekends while going to high school, and he was overheard by the owner of a local barbecue chain who bankrolled his attendance at the Chicago Conservatory of Music, and he studied voice and piano, and then he won a local talent show in 67 at the Trocadero, and his prize was to open for Lou Rawls and Earl Hines at Sutherland Lounge, and in that audience was Jo Armstead and her husband Mel Collins, and they took a liking to him as well. And they arranged for him to do a recording session in Detroit. And they went on their label, Gamma Records. And the rest was history. Like I say, Jealous Kind of Fella and all that. But he was on a number of other labels, never really had another hit. Not only Joe Armstead, but some of his stuff was produced and arranged by Donny Hathaway. And he was on Spring Records for a while. And it just never really hit again, which is a shame because he was just terrific. But so much for Garland Green. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh and James is in Oregon. How you feeling tonight, James?
My anxieties are over my stuff going on is subsiding. So
good.
I handed it up, my situation up, and
good,
and let it be taken care of, and things are okay. So.
All right, I like that.
Yeah. I just wanted to comment on David Crosby in my phone man days. I used to work in covered the Santa Barbara area, 101, all the way from the Santa Barbara, Ventura County line, all the way up to King City, if you know that area.
Oh, sure.
And San San Simeon up to Hearst Castle and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, I won't give the street David Crosby lived on, but he lived in the Solvang area, mm-hmm. if you know where that's at. And I used to go in there, and I got to meet him, and he was always a very quiet man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was always reading a book or something like that. But he and his wife, they had a fairly modest home, you know, for what I would think would be fairly modest for a person, you know, with their success and stuff. But they used to grow a organic garden, and his wife, whenever I worked up there, she'd always go pick some fresh vegetables and give them to me and to take home. So they were, whatever people think, well, might think, I don't know, but they were pretty down-to-earth people and very nice people when I was around them. So
mm-hmm.
I'll say rest in peace to the man. And I liked the birds, and I like some of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, but like that. But yeah, so I just wanted to say my rest in peace to him.
Okay.
And to his wife.
Okay.
Then I had a friend I worked with when I worked in Hollywood area, a guy named Kim Fahey. He was a co-worker of mine's phone company, and he wrote a book called Hollywood Unlisted.
Oh, that's great.
About his experiences as a phone man in the Hollywood area, and it's kind of a neat reading if you ever want to look that up.
I am going to look for that right now. And, yeah, David Crosby, actually, you mentioned Solvang. He wrote a guide to Santa Ynez Valley, so that's out there, too.
Yeah. Santa Ynez is the area he lived in, yeah.
Now, Hollywood Unlisted, huh?
Yeah.
All right. I wanna read this. This is just wonderful. Yeah, here it is. Kim Fahey, Amazon. Okay. What? $67? Yeah. I don't want to read it that. Oh, wait. There's a used one for $5.46. Okay, I'll take that one.
Yeah, get the used.
Yeah, right. Ain't no $46 book in my life. All right. So let's
see.
Well,
not written by him either. You know?
Yeah. Well, here's one for $5.46. Of course, they're going to charge me $3.98 to deliver it, but I guess I can spring for that. It's a good book. Yeah. I'll like this because, you know, this is almost $10 here. All right, so let me buy that. Checking that out as we speak. All right.
I now own
Hollywood Unlisted. When's it coming? Let's see. They'll tell me, I'm sure. Probably next month. February 1st. All right. Well, very good. I can wait.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I have my free copy, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I'm. You know, for $5.43 plus shipping, I'm with one phone man's unbelievable memoirs and secrets from 30 years of service calls in Tinseltown. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. You might enjoy it. Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, he lived in Saugus and Palmdale and Quartz Hill. So yeah, I know his.
Yeah. Well, he. He lived up in that area, and he was building all kinds of stuff. He's a very artistic man, and he's building all kinds of stuff on his property. He had a couple of acres up in there, and then the county came in, and they said that he had to tear it down because he didn't have permits.
Oh no! Did he tear it down, or did he fight it?
Well. No, he didn't tear it down. He took this, a lot of the stuff out that he wanted, and then when the county sent in, they sent in a construction team to take down the stuff. They damaged their equipment because it was so well built.
Good.
But a friend of his, he lost the property. They took the property for fines, and so he moved up. Off into Kern County, moved out of LA County, moved up off of I-5.
Oh, so like to Acton or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he moved up there, and the guy told him just build Joey Hardaway, you know.
Okay. Oh,
well,
good.
So that's where he's at. But he grew up in the Saugus area. Yeah.
Okay.
like that. So he knew that area pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm sure that I will enjoy reading this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's something, and he referenced a lot of some of his coworkers in there too. But I don't think he did by name. But if you knew the workers, the workers, yeah. You'd know which ones he was talking about. But yeah, it was pretty interesting. So okay. Easy read.
Yeah,
not that bad.
Well,
yeah.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was gonna. It doesn't have anything to do with my situations or anything, but I heard a song called "Lonely Teardrops."
Jackie Wilson.
And I think is it Neville something or?
Oh, an Aaron Neville version, but I mean, "Lonely Teardrops" is originally Jackie Wilson. That's the big hit.
Yeah, but he was the original then?
Yeah, absolutely, and one of his biggest records, of course. My heart keeps crying, lonely teardrops. Yes.
Well, who's this Neville guy then, or do you know?
Aaron Neville out of.
I think I said Neville Phelps or something like that.
Oh yeah, Lonely Teardrops by Neville Phelps.
I don't know. I don't know if I heard it right.
Well, let's see. I know the original, that's for sure, but let's see.
Yeah.
All right. Lonely Teardrops.
Well, can you play that sometime?
Yeah,
I'll play Jackie Wilson?
Yeah, that's the only version I can play, but I'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, okay.
All right, good deal. So apparently a number of people have recorded it, which is, of course, painful. Barry Gordy wrote that, along with Gwen Gordy and Billy Davis. And that's from 1958. And it was a wonderful song. It was on Brunswick, of course.
Yeah.
So I'll be happy to play it. Yeah, one of his biggest hits, actually. So I know Brian Hyland had a version of it. It was painful. Jay and the Americans had a version of it. It was painful. John Fogerty had one, needless to say. I think you're talking about Narvel Feltz, the country guy. Narvel Feltz had a cover of it, and it was a country.
Yeah.
It was a country hit by him, and I probably have that record by Narvel Feltz actually, because I have most of Narvel Feltz's stuff. I'm sorry to admit, but although he did some, I shouldn't make fun of him. He did some good stuff. But all right, so well, maybe we'll compare them both here, Narvel, and here Jackie.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, good deal.
All right. Excellent. Okay.
All right. Well, I'll let you go.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Happy to play some Narvel Feltz. Why not? 888-876-5593. We'll get back to Johnny D in a moment. And Mark in Downers Grove. I haven't forgotten about you, Mark. Mark's in a moving mood, I do believe. And we'll find out how that is going and more on WGN Radio.
My heart is crying, lonely teardrops. My pillow never dropped, lonely teardrops.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, it was during Lonely Teardrops, which he was performing in Cherry Hill at the Latin Casino, when he got to My Heart Is Crying. Well, it was. He collapsed in 1975 and then was in a coma until his death. But that originally was a ballad that when Berry Gordy wrote it with Billy Davis. And you can thank Dick Jacobs, who was an arranger for Decca, and of course Brunswick at the time was a subsidiary of Decca, who said, no, that's not what you need to do. This needs to be up-tempo. And of course, it was a smash compared to how it used to be. But Narble Feltz, yeah, a country hit in, about 1976. It was by the time he'd left Cinnamon Records, and he was on ABC Dot at the time, and Lonely Teardrops got to number 5 on the country charts in 76 for Narvel.
My heart is crying, crying, lonely teardrops. My pillow's never dry, lonely teardrops. Just say you will, say you will.
Different, and that was 1976, like I mentioned, on ABC, and Johnny Morris did the production on that song, and so that's the deal with that. But yeah, so 76, that was after, of course, Jackie Wilson had fallen into a coma, and just a horribly sad story all the way around. Narvel was a guy from the Ozarks, and he had a radio show there for a while on KDEX in Dexter, Missouri. I think he called himself Narvel the Marvel. Yeah, oh well, it was forgettable. So we have let's see here, Johnny D and Johnny D again. Okay, it's a twice in one night time for Johnny D. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for that, Wally. I just wanted to call back, and I'm so glad I heard on the news they were doing some positive things for David Crosby.
Absolutely.
Because you seem to be wanting to. I want to sing a few songs that he made.
No, we're not.
I'm not going to sing the whole thing.
Don't sing any of it, please. You see, that's the nice thing about the news. You can hear wonderful things about David Crosby, and it's all over every newscast. It's sort of like we don't talk about politics because we want to be a respite from that. Well, we're not going to talk about David Crosby.
I'm going to sing, please, Rory. I feel I have to do this.
All right, well, if you have to, good. I need a bathroom break. The mic is yours.
All right. This one is called Almost Cut My Hair. It's not the whole song. Just going to do a couple of lines from it. It's something I used to do. Almost cut my hair. It happened just the other day. It's getting kind of long. I could have said it was in my way, but I didn't, and I wonder why. Guess I feel like letting my freak flag fly, and I feel like I owe it to someone. That's a Vietnam protest song. Now, then there was a fellow, Steve Bryant, mentioned a long time gone. Turn any corner, you must hear what the people say. No, 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 don't try to get yourself elected. If you do, you had better cut your hair. All right?
Yeah, I'm back. Yep.
No, there's one more.
Oh, no.
Rodriguez for a night. And I would sell my soul if I could only be Rodriguez, just one night. Now, if the devil still wants to make a deal, I'd be willing to curse the light. Yes, I would sell my soul if I could only be Rodriguez. Just one night.
Very nice.
That was for David Crosby.
All right. Well, very good. Very good. So we both managed to have success there. All right. I will talk to you later, Johnny D.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So there you have it. All right. And a bathroom break for me. So 888-876-5593. I don't know how you follow it, but Mark in Downers Grove is going to try. So it's all yours, Mark.
Well, I'm afraid I agree with Johnny D's wife. He is not a good singer at all.
Oh, he's a wonderful singer.
No, I don't agree.
Just a bad choice of songs, maybe, but he's a wonderful singer on stage continually.
And you bumped me behind to put him on.
Well,
I
didn't know what was coming.
The artist, the dilemma of the artist's personal life versus his work has always been with us. And I told John, one of my favorite composers of all time is Claude Debussy, and his theme music for the Night Sounds program was Bonsoir, and that piece makes me cry almost every time I hear it. And yet, Claude Debussy is a man that I could despise. He was a philanderer left and right, and he left a lot of broken and bleeding hearts in his wake, and all because he was looking for the ideal woman. And if we were to ban...
All right. I hate to do this. We have just ended the night, so Claude is going to have to keep looking for the woman, and next Tuesday you can call me and tell me the rest of the story. We'll find out if Claude found her, and then you'll tell me all about your move. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Mark.
Yeah, okay.
All right, good deal. So on that note, we thank Adam for putting up with me and keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank those of you who called. It makes it a pleasure to do. Now, that's pretty much going to be a wrap on the live show until Monday. Tomorrow night's a replay of Monday Night Trivia, and then next Monday, 9 o'clock Central, I'll be ready for you. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.